broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Knock him out! Knock him out!
You got I woke up and found out we were millionaires.
He really does know that area very, very well. I believe he probably lives near
any person that has lawful business.
So I watched the basketball game last night.
I may slip my throat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, they can't, they won't, they shan't, they went, I guess.
That word, went.
They went. They shan't and they went, man. Only on this show do we go to them places. Some days are better than others, you know, but I liked Larry Grover tonight. He was, well, I didn't like him cutting himself.
What do you mean, like the guy? That guy belongs in a nut house. That man belonged in a soft room, in a rubber room.
Yeah, he should be in a rubber room, that guy.
Well, there's no question there's a great deal of neurosis. You know what neurosis is, bud? Well, I don't know what it is either, but it's
like he's mentally ill, man.
Yeah, he's whack. There's no question. Donald Trump took on the birther issue, and now President Obama's weighed in. I guess he ought to. They're talking about his birth. Will the issue hurt the GOP? The Reverend Jesse Jackson is the subject of a bombshell lawsuit alleging he asked a gay employee for sex. Plus, a dad is caught on camera encouraging his kid in a vicious street fight. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. Our t-shirts are in, the Phil Hendry Show t-shirt. Just in time for summertime, we got them in large, extra large, double extra large, and we have, I believe, triple extra large, don't we, bud? We do not have fourple.
No, we don't have fourple. I look for it.
But we do have triple. And we have the largest archive of audio of any radio show in the world, and we're very proud of our radio show. We're proud of those archives, so if you become a member of our website, get our backstage pass, you have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio material. We don't skimp, we don't cheat, we don't, you know, we ain't playing here. So get your BSP. Uncensored video cast, of course, in HD, which is what we have going right here. And if you're watching our uncensored video cast, you know that we, during the commercial breaks, you know, we're still here and we're swearing and cursing and damning people to hell, and Bud is slapping me and I slap Robert. So it's a lot of fun. On-demand video, email access as well, philhendryshow.com. Now, lots of things to obviously discuss. There's one incident here, or one story here, or I don't know how you want to put this, having to do with the FAA, and I've seen this before.
It's about the guys fall asleep.
Well, this is the FAA adds staff to towers after four more dozing incidents by controllers. Seven incidents in 3 months. I don't know how often these things take place. Again, we live in a day and age where there is so much communication. Everybody's got their nose shoved up everybody else's business that it's almost impossible not to know what's happening. And because of the information overload, we think it's all new, you know. It isn't necessarily new. It's just that all of a sudden, well, look at this. I've got all of these channels on cable TV, and I've got all of this ability on the internet. What am I going to fill it up with? I know. Why don't I check into the FAA and find, you know, I bet you there's don't you think there's blogs dedicated to this?
Well, I know that there are a lot of people who have different blogs, and some people, like, there's a guy I've got downtown. I think you follow, right?
No, I don't follow the downtown blog. I don't follow downtown.
You don't?
No, I used to follow the downtown blog, but I don't. But I know what you mean. There's a downtown LA blog. It's actually pretty good, but I don't know. Never mind about the downtown, but I know what you're saying, okay?
Yeah, but somebody's going to write about something.
Exactly. No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I mean, there could be a blog, just speaking for Los Angeles, in any city, no matter where you are. New York, I bet you there's a guy with a Times Square blog. Just whatever he sees in Times Square, there it is. A Central Park blog, a Brooklyn blog, a Brooklyn Bridge blog. And here in L.A., there's a guy with a downtown blog. I bet you money there's a Chinatown blog, there's a Pershing Square blog, there's a Hollywood, West Hollywood blog, you know. And that's the beauty of blogs, I guess. So there's always some reporting going on. And if you have that many people reporting on that many things, there's bound to be a sooner or later, some piece of information that could prove very shocking. And our first thought is, oh, my God, this is going on all the time. Why haven't I heard about this? But the FAA has added staff to towers after four more dozing incidents by controllers. Now, overnight staffing will be beefed up at 26 airports nationwide, federal air safety officials said on Wednesday, in response to a spate of air traffic controllers falling asleep on duty. In the latest incident, the pilot of an airborne ambulance landed in Nevada on Wednesday without help from a dozing controller. Good God!
What do they need him for, though? They don't have to have no guy to land a plane, do they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do, man. They don't know, like, air traffic and everything.
What do you mean?
There's air traffic. There are other planes, bud, you know, flying.
Yeah.
And so when a guy is landing his airplane, he wants to know, especially at night, he wants to know, is there an airplane around me? What altitude do you want me at so I don't crash into another guy? What runway do you want me to land at?
What do you got to know that for?
In case there's another plane landing at it, man. Use your head. If there's another guy that's landing there. So if you're a pilot, and sure, you're using your instruments, but to quote Paul Anka, that very famous outtake tape where he's ripping his staff a new one, he says, let me tell you this.
I heard that.
A pilot is landing his aircraft. Now, yes, of course, he uses his instruments, but he eyeballs the runway. Anyway, in the latest incident, the pilot of an airborne ambulance landed in Nevada on Wednesday without the help from a dozing controller. The airports affected by the FAA administration's decision previously had one controller in the tower overnight. One. And now will be staffed by two. One controller overnight. They include sizable airports such as those in Burbank. No. Don't tell me that, man.
Well, I mean, they're not landing light in Burbank, man.
No, don't tell me Burbank only had one controller. What did I say, controller? One controller all those nights that I landed. No, I didn't land at night.
That's right. I don't think they land nobody at night on a Burbank.
They got to have some flights into Burbank at night. Anyway, one controller at Burbank, Sacramento, Fort Lauderdale. No way. And Omaha, Nebraska. Also on Wednesday, the FAA announced suspension of four controllers for nodding off in front of radar screens during the past 2 weeks following a pair of similar incidents disclosed previously. The moves underscore broader safety and fatigue concerns affecting the roughly 15,000 FAA employees responsible for keeping planes apart in the air and on the ground. Now, let's talk about this for a minute, because I don't think there's any excuse for falling asleep on a job.
Wait a minute, man. I mean, you're working overnight. You don't know that?
Let me tell you something. I've worked more overnight shifts. Coming up in this business, I worked lots and lots and lots of overnight shifts. There's no excuse at all.
What are you talking about? Everybody's supposed to sleep at night.
It's the people that sleep at night, sleep at night. If your job calls for you to be awake in the middle of the night, then your ass is awake in the middle of the night. Your ass is awake. You better start drinking coffee. You better start scoring speed. I don't care how you do it.
So you want people to take speed?
Yeah, if that's what it takes, yeah. And no, that's not what it takes. But your ass has got to be awake. Falling asleep on a job. Did I ever tell you when I was driving into work one morning? I'm driving into work one morning. I shouldn't mention, but I will. It was in the waning days of a very well-known rock station here in... that's right, bud. What do you have that?
Yeah, I was going to say, take the Dynapep. That's the best thing there is.
Take Dynapep, baby. Where's my Dynapep? Here it is. For those of you watching on a video cast, Dynapep! I didn't even take my Dynapep tonight.
You mad? You're out of your mind. You must take your Dynapep here.
They're a sponsor, of course, Dynapep. I'm driving in one morning to work, and it was a Sunday morning shift that I had at the late great KMET radio in Los Angeles. There's a KMET in San Bernardino, which is a talk station. It's one of our affiliates. But this was KMET radio in Los Angeles. It was a rock station. It was the final year of its existence. And at one time, KMET had been one of the giant rock stations in America. I'm driving into work one morning. I'm listening to KMET, and I had the early morning shift on this Sunday morning. And suddenly, what do you think I hear?
Dead air.
Dead air. I'm hearing, not even because it wasn't playing a disc, but it's just like, I mean, dead air.
How long ago was?
Well, let me put it to you this way. KMET is at Sunset and the Hollywood Boulevard, and the Hollywood Freeway. Is that right? Yeah, Sunset and the Hollywood Freeway. And I was on the Pasadena Freeway. I wasn't anywhere near Hollywood yet. And I'm coming in for a shift that started at 6 o'clock, and I'm hearing,
So it was like dead air all the way?
So let me just tell you the story. So I'm driving, and I'm driving. Yes, basically, yes, it was. I'm driving, and I'm driving. And I get on a Hollywood freeway, and I'm driving, and I'm driving. I'm thinking, whoever's at the board, man, fell asleep. This is a major rock and roll radio station. It's 10 minutes to 6 in the morning, yes, or whatever it was in on a Sunday morning. Okay, so we're not exactly talking about, you know, prime time in radio. But the fact is, it's just dead, man. It's gone. And it was gone from about Highland Park, and now I'm on the Pasadena. And I get on a Hollywood, dead, baby. Just like the guy said in Malcolm X, you dead, Red. And I'm on the Hollywood, and it's dead. And I finally get off on Sunset, and it's dead air. And I finally park it, and it's dead air. And I get into the elevator, dead air, come all the way up the elevator, turn the corner, go into the studio. Sure enough, there's the guy that was supposed to be on the air. It was a board op, dead asleep, man, on the couch.
What'd you do?
I kicked the couch. And I know the guy's a great guy, too, and he's still in radio. He's a great kid. But I kicked the couch just to scare him. And I go, dead air, man. And he's like, oh, God, you should have seen this dude, man. He went up about 8 feet in the air, came down, and I said, oh, man. And he, you know, he was just chagrined. And
what's that mean, chagrin?
Means like when you grin.
No, it doesn't mean when you grin. It means embarrassed and remorseful and feeling like a jackass, basically. That's chagrin. So that was a guy that fell asleep on the job. It's never happened to me because I figure very early on in my career, wait a minute, this is my job. I fall asleep, I'm going to get fired. That would never allow myself to fall asleep. If you got to get up and walk around, if you got to go out and get a couple of breaths of air, if you have to drink more coffee than you've ever drank in your life, if you've got to pop no-dos, I don't give a damn what it is, you don't fall asleep.
I don't know, man. It seems like a natural thing a man's going to do.
Well, if it's a natural thing that you're going to do and it's your job to work overnights, you're going to find another job. So the FAA has decided that that's what they're going to do. You know, they're going to have, instead of one controller, they'll have two. That blows my mind, man, that they only had one at Burbank, Fort Lauderdale. One? Wow. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Did Jesse Jackson order a gay staffer to rub cream between his legs? Did he imply he wanted to be sexually satisfied? The answer to that question, I bet you money, is no, but someone's suing him for that, and we'll find out when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Reverend Jesse Jackson, subject of a gay harassment complaint, allegedly asked for oral sex from a gay employee. Now, I recognize that all kinds of lawsuits are brought and allegations are brought and harassment of this and harassment of that. And, you know, and you don't want to believe some of them. And
why you just report it? Don't qualify it with a bunch of baloney.
God, talk much, man?
Yeah, man. All that,
but you're always coming up with baloney.
What baloney?
Why don't you just report it? See what it is.
Well, because he's a prominent guy, man. I'm going to come in here. Look at, dude. You know, I'm not one of these guys going to sit down and say, "Hey, look at this," because I don't want to look like a jackass somewhere down the road when it turns out to be baloney. You telling me that I'm reporting baloney? Half of this stuff is baloney.
That's baloney.
You get out of here. This is from NBC Chicago and Windy City Times. Now I know it's baloney. No, it's... anyway, a former employee of Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr. I mean, senior.
Yeah, it's senior.
Okay. A former employee of Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. at the Rainbow Push Coalition has filed a bombshell wrongful termination and discrimination complaint against the civil rights leader with the City of Chicago's Commission on Human Rights. The complaint filed sometime last year by Tommy R. Bennett, a member of President Barack Obama's LGBT Leadership Council, includes shocking allegations about Jackson's behavior toward the openly gay staffer, including an allegation that the civil rights leader propositioned him. Jackson has denied the allegations in a legal response that was filed in July 2010 and surfaced when the Windy City Times published a story on Tuesday. So this is July of 2010. That is almost, you know, 3/4 of a year ago, and it is now being published.
Well, maybe there's nothing to it.
Oh, no, not about that. Same thing Larry Craig didn't find out about till man looked.
Boy, but I'm sure I'm glad I speak Swahili, because I don't know what you just said.
Yeah,
what
did you say, man?
I said same thing with Larry Craig. Tell a man look at it.
What man? You mean the guys from the
hill.
Well, I forget who it was, but no, that's a good point that Bud makes. The Larry Craig stuff, having to do with the Minneapolis PD, that didn't come out until, yeah, some newspaper or some periodical from Washington, D.C. finally did come out with it. Remember that?
No, man, I don't remember that. I know that Larry Craig was touching on some cop, right?
He didn't touch the cop. He was saying, no, but the point is, that's not the point. The point is, yeah, but the point is that this didn't reach the public, okay?
See?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't reach the public until this Capitol newspaper, a congressional roll call, I think it was, published it. Otherwise, yeah, I know it happened in Minneapolis and it was sort of buried. And it was like 2 or 3 months later that it finally came out. And, of course, it essentially sunk Larry Craig. And Larry Craig was a weird guy to begin with, man. He was very, very weird. And by weird, I don't mean the fact that he was gay. By weird, he just gave me the creeps. And one of the things, they were talking to him about something about Obama, and he said he was a very naughty boy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember that when he said that?
Uh-uh.
He says, oh, and it looks like President Obama's been a very naughty boy. And I thought, what an odd way for a man, for an adult man to speak.
Yeah, then you found out, guys, you're gayer than anything you could think about.
That don't mean he's gay. I'm not talking about him being gay. Anyway, the complaint was filed sometime last year by Tommy R. Bennett, this LGBT Leadership Council member who was appointed by President Obama. Jackson denied the allegations in a filing in July. Now, the Windy City Times published a story on Tuesday. Here's what the Windy City Times wrote. They wrote, quote, Bennett, 55, claims that he had to escort women to Jackson's room and clean up his room after sexual intercourse with women. Mr. Bennett believes he was forced to do these tasks due to his sexual orientation, adding that he had to escort women to such places as the Sheraton Hotel in New York and the Wynn Hotel and Resort in Las Vegas. Things reached an apex later in 2008 when Bennett says he was, quote, summoned to Reverend Jackson's hotel room at the Hilton Chicago O'Hare Airport. Bennett claims that he was eventually instructed to apply cream to Jackson, who had a rash between his legs. Come on! Bennett says that he refused, resulting in Jackson allegedly calling him a little MF-er. Bennett then states that another time at the hotel, Jackson summoned him at 1 a.m. to take notes. The complaint states, when Mr. Bennett arrived, Reverend Jackson was dressed only in his briefs and a V-neck T-shirt. Bennett alleges Jackson was sexually excited.
How's he know about that?
Well, three guesses, man.
Oh.
By the way, that was Roll Call Magazine that broke the story on, thank you very much, Jace, on Larry Craig. Asked by Windy City Times how he came to this conclusion, Bennett said, I could tell by his look, his whole demeanor had changed, his breathing pattern had changed. Well, if the guy's in his underwear...
Well, yeah.
How did you know? He's in briefs, right? Isn't that what that was? Yeah. The complaint continues. Before Mr. Bennett left, Reverend Jackson stated that white folks took the word gay and gave the word its own definition. Reverend Jackson stated that he played football and there was a gay high school teacher who took Reverend Jackson under his wing and told him that he needed education to go along with football. Reverend Jackson said, from the gay teacher, I got a good grade. I got to use his car, I got $10, and I got my blank blanked.
What's that mean?
Well, I'll show it to you, see?
Oh.
I got my blank blanked. Anyway, Reverend Jackson said, that's not gay, that's surviving. Bennett alleges this meant Reverend Jackson wanted sex, but that Bennett then left the room. The complaint concludes with Bennett saying that he received a letter December the 23rd, 2009, saying that he was being terminated due to lack of funding. Let me tell you about this story. If Jesse Jackson's gay, so what? If Jesse Jackson fired a guy because the guy did not have sex with him, and under the color of Jackson's superiority as an employer, that's bad. That's sexual harassment. But sex with another man is legal. and would not be a problem. The problem is it could be harassment.
Yeah, well, you tell me Jesse Jackson's day.
I don't know. I'm just saying it shouldn't be an issue unless there's harassment involved. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. And we've got Florida Dad charged with encouraging Phil his son Henry to fight. Woo!
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back, Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We've been trying to find this picture of the man who has filed this complaint against Reverend Jesse Jackson. His name is Tommy Bennett, I believe, and here is a photograph. Unfortunately, I don't have it. I can't quite access it to get it onto our video feed. But he looks, you know,
Fritz gay.
No, he does. He's in some kind of a glamour pose. That's the he's like scratching his left ear with his right hand. Anytime someone is scratching the wrong side ear, there it's a glamour shot. You know what I mean?
No.
All right. Have you seen that picture of Arianna Huffington on the Twitter?
Well, I mean, which one?
It's the one that's on her Twitter account.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right, man. She's scratching her left ear.
What's with the left ear? That's my whole thing. Scratching the left ear with the right hand is a glamour shot. Think about it. Like, if you guys are looking at the video cast tonight, take a look at me, and I'm like,
You look like a gay boy.
Get out of here. I lost my news. The point that I'm making here is it's some kind of a screwball. Will you adjust that light, Robert? Because there's a shadow falling across my face, and my nose is blocking my face.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, Obama, I was born in Hawaii and I don't have horns. That's right, President Obama has once again had to take on the birther thang. Now, as a conservative, I put myself strongly in the camp of, Senator Lindsey Graham and others who you may or may not like. But the point that I agree with 150,000% is, would you get off this kick and let's get to more important things? I don't care if Donald Trump thinks there's something to it or not. Because a guy is smart when it comes to money doesn't mean the guy is smart when it comes to other stuff. Donald Trump knows how to make money. Doesn't necessarily mean the guy is conversant with constitutional law or the requirements of being president of the United States or what other presidential candidates have had to go through or what other presidential candidates have been vetted for, so on and so forth. Because you're going to get into a problem here. Let me just tell you what it is right off the bat. And then people can make up their own minds. I didn't make this up. I didn't create it. Don't kill the messenger for the message. But here it is. If somebody wants to go through this rigmarole with Obama and his birth certificate, you better believe that every single solitary Republican that ran for president is going to have to go through the same thing. Where's your birth certificate? Let's see your birth certificate. And God help any one of them that can't find it or doesn't have the right kind. Now, what they're asking for here, there's such a thing as a certificate of live birth. Did you ever know that there were so many different kinds of birth certificates? I didn't know this. Now, President Obama responded to Donald Trump today and other Republicans who challenge his U.S. citizenship. He said that it may gain a short-term political benefit with conservative voters, but will suffer with the kinds of independent voters who decide general elections. Most people feel pretty confident the president was born where he says he was, in Hawaii, Obama told ABC News in an interview. The president added that he doesn't have horns. Obama responded to a George Stephanopoulos question about Trump, the businessman and reality television show star who has demanded Obama produce a birth certificate. Trump has said he will announce soon whether he runs for president in the Republican primaries or possibly as an independent. The president told ABC he has, quote, such a big day job that he isn't focused on the Republican race. There will be a time when I'm focused on it. Asked later if all the birther stuff will hurt Republicans, here's what Obama said. Well, you know what? We have the audio, so let's listen to the audio of President Obama as he's talking about the Republicans and birthers.
I think that over the last 2.5 years, there has been an effort to go at me in a way that is politically expedient in the short term for Republicans. but creates, I think, a problem for them when they want to actually run in a general election where most people feel pretty confident. The president was born where he says he was, in Hawaii. He doesn't have horns.
President Obama argues that people care about other issues.
We may disagree with him on some issues, and we may wish that the unemployment rate was coming down faster, and we want to know his plan on gas prices, but we're not really worrying about conspiracy theories or birth certificates. And so I think it presents a problem for them.
Let me tell you something, and this is coming from me as a conservative. I'm very, very suspicious, and quite frankly, it pisses me off almost, when people who call themselves conservatives look to discredit the movement by being stupid. Or they don't even know they're discrediting the movement, they just are stupid. When they start getting into this birther stuff, because I'll tell you something right now, he isn't wrong there. Donald Trump hasn't got a snowball's chance in hell if he stays on and on about this birther stuff. Now, that's just a fact. I won't vote for him. Forget it. There's no way. I'm not going to vote for a guy that I think is an idiot. And you may think that Donald Trump knows a lot about money. Yeah, he knows a lot about money. There's a lot of guys that know a lot about money. But one of the things you got to learn when you get to Washington, D.C., because we've had millionaires that were presidents before, you got to learn how to work the system, man. Otherwise, you're going to have Obama Part 2, only he's going to be a Republican instead of a Democrat. You're going to have a guy sitting in the White House that doesn't know how to work the Congress. It's like Obama couldn't work the Congress. Everybody complaining about this guy sitting in the White House, he won't go down there and get stuff done. Well, why? He didn't know how. And he left it up to a couple of people, Pelosi and Reid, oh my God, who were hated by Republicans. And he thinks there's going to be some consensus or some bipartisanship in the Congress when Pelosi and Reid are running the show and the Republicans hate their guts. There's nobody going to sit down and break bread with those people, man. They'd rather drink poison. Obama didn't get that. Some smart ass said when Rahm Emanuel left, he said, well, they always blame the chief of staff. It's very, very standard to blame the chief of staff. Very. Well, all right, it may be very standard to blame the chief of staff, but when you got a president like Obama that isn't getting it about how this ball game is played, well, who's going to? You got to get something moving, don't you? Don't you have to get some kind of some process, some part of the process moving? Who's the guy to do it? The chief of staff. So that guy Rahm Emanuel, for all of that badass talk about him being a real, you know,
yeah, they said he was like a real hard ass.
Oh yeah, I heard all about this guy being a hard ass. He got, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I could tell, Rahm Emanuel got into that job at chief of staff. He lasted how long? He didn't even last the 4 years. This guy lasted like a cup of coffee, and they chewed him up and spit his ass out. So if you want to fool around with birther, go right ahead. But you know what? You're going to lose the mainstream. And I'm very worried that the conservative movement, the Republican Party, or any part of that, continually gets sidetracked. They get sidetracked with birther. They get sidetracked with God knows what, Obama and socialism and the, you know, back in the day when it was all about heirs and it was all about Jeremiah Wright, and it's gonna be something, you know, Michelle Obama and the fact that she's forcing, you know, we're gonna have to start acting like grown-ups here. This is about one thing and one thing only. This is about the economic policies to be put in place to bring the country back to a state of financial security and solvency and better footing so that we can start taking care of some of these other problems. It's not about whether or not Michelle Obama wants to put a limit on the lunches that our kids, you know, I'm not going to waste my time with this, man. I heard what the woman said. Nobody's trying to jam anything down anybody's throat, but people want to make this into an issue because people don't feel comfortable and they don't feel confident talking about economic issues. Well, get educated. Otherwise, there's going to be another 4 years of Barack Obama, and it won't be a surprise. He will have the sympathies of the American voter, and the Republicans and conservatives are going to be running around looking like a bunch of weird asses. Do you understand? Looking like a bunch of weirdos in Tin Man uniforms, worrying about birther stuff. All right, so there you go. And
you don't want to vote for Trump at all.
Why do I want to vote for Trump? Let me tell you something, man. Like I said, we've had millionaires run for president before. Trump could get into the White House. Everybody thought that Obama was going to work magic. Everyone thought that he was going to become president, and everyone would be so in love with his ass that all he had to do was show up for something, and oh, baby, the waters would part, and this would get done, and that would get done, and something else would get done. We looked at President Obama when he got into Washington. He was just as ineffective and impotent as any rookie. And the same thing will happen to Trump. A guy like Trump, holy God, they'll see him coming a mile away. And I think that they will feed Donald Trump him. They'll feed him his lunch unless he learns how to start, oiling the system a little bit. The first thing he's got to do is get off that birther stuff.
Yeah, well, you think Donald Trump, though, make a good president?
Not unless he figures out how to work the system, man. And the system begins and ends with the Congress. And all the heavy hitters over there, and all of the senators over there, and all of the Congress people over there that think their stuff doesn't smell. They think, we've been around here, Mr. President, a long time. They've all been hanging out there for 30 years. Oh, we know this town like the back of our hand. And this guy's going to come into town and start telling us how to do things? Forget it. Mr. President this and Mr. President that, but at the end of the day, they want to tell this guy who's boss. Florida dad charged with encouraging 16-year-old son's fist fight captured on video. What do you think of this story? A Florida father, a Hillsborough County dad, is facing charges after he was caught on video yelling violent phrases as his 16-year-old son fought another teenager.
Knock him out! Knock him out! You got this, son! You got this! You got it, Jake. Knock him out. Good, good!
What a scumbag. This is a father of a young 16-year-old kid. This is what he's teaching his kid. Gouge his eyes out. The video shows Philip Struthers cheering on as his son was in a violent fight with another 16-year-old. He can be heard yelling, punch his eyes out, slam his head on the ground. Struthers is seen clearly on the tape. Deputies say Struthers made no attempt to break up the fight. The video was subsequently posted on the website World Star Hip Hop. It's unclear who recorded and posted the video. A neighbor who witnessed the fight called the Hillsborough Sheriff's Office to report the incident and told investigators where they could find the video on the web. Obviously, this is way over the top. He's not only encouraging him to fight, but to actually do damage by slamming his head on the concrete and gouge his eyes out. That could have caused severe damage and death, said Hillsborough Sheriff spokesman Larry McKinnon.
Well, is that against the law or something?
I don't know if it's against the law. It's a very good question. To stand there encouraging your young son. If you're going to teach a kid to fight, I suppose, you teach a kid to fight to the death. I mean, I don't know of any other way to fight personally, because if you're fighting a stranger, you don't know what that person's going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a kid.
No, but that's my point. That's some pretty heavy instruction for a 16-year-old kid. And to be standing there in the middle of a wild neighborhood fight in an alley with a kid that you don't know, encouraging the kid to knock the kid out, which is a concussion, at least. Neither teen was injured, and the two shook hands at the end of the fight, Debbie Carter, the public information officer from the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, said. Struthers was arrested on Tuesday evening and charged with child abuse, Bud, if that answers your question.
What's that mean, child abuse?
What do you mean, what's it mean?
It means child abuse, man.
He was encouraging the abuse of two children, both of them underage teens, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. His jail record lists him as a self-employed contractor. Struthers was arrested in 2005 for, guess what? Domestic violence. He was released Wednesday afternoon after posting bond. A judge ordered him to stay away from anyone younger than 18. including his son and the other teen in the fight. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office confirmed Child Protection Services is investigating.
Man, beware of YouTube, man. Beware of YouTube.
Beware of YouTube. We'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with more. PhilHendryShow.com is our website. The FBI takes to the sky to search Long Island and find more potential victims of a serial killer. Coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, and on our video cast right now, we finally pulled up the picture here of Tommy R. Bennett, photo from Tommy R. Bennett. This is the man who has made the accusation against Reverend Jackson, and because we're juvenile and we don't have anything better to do, and Bud and Jason were both laughing at the fact that if you're looking at the picture, the man looks as if he's had hair plugs. Yeah.
Why should you blame a man for that?
Because it looks funny, that's why.
Well, whatever. Anyway, this is the picture of note, is what I had mentioned earlier, the hand, the right hand on the left ear, which is, as I mentioned, the glamour shot. Anyway, this is the chap, and I'll tell you what, if his accusations are true, it would mean sexual harassment. And
I don't understand what you're talking about, man, sexual harassment pulls a Reverend Jackson being gay.
Reverend Jackson can be gay, that's not against the law, and it certainly is nothing that I think should slow his guy. You know, look, I'm not interested in bagging on a guy because he's gay. However, if he sexually harassed this man, an employee, do you understand? Because the guy was assigned to him or otherwise was in his employ as a member of this LGBT council, and the reverend was using this man's was using this man's employment for sexual reasons. I mean, and is the guy going to say no? What's he going to do?
Well, yeah, he'd say no.
Then he's afraid of being fired. That's what sexual harassment is, when a superior. So we'll find out. I don't know.
All right, can you take it off that guy's picture? Because, man...
What, are you getting all hot and everything for him?
Will you dirty... Okay.
Shut up. Come on. All right. Anyway, welcome back here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. FBI tanks to the sky in Long Island serial killer search.
You said Kirch.
Did I really, man? Wow.
Yeah, man. Wow. Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I said Kirch. FBI takes to the sky in Long Island serial killer Kirch. In Long Island, New York, and you've been hearing this story, it is real spooky, way out there, way, way out there. They have evidence of a serial killer, sports fans, and I say that, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, seriously, but the FBI is in the sky, man. They have choppers and light aircraft as they are surveying this stretch of Long Island to figure out what the hell is going on. Now, the Federal Law Enforcement Agency is using high-tech planes and helicopters equipped with high-resolution cameras to take aerial images of beach areas where at least 9, now possibly 10, sets of human remains have been found in the past 4 months. So if you think about that, Robert and Bud, we were talking, you know, this is long after the fact. I don't know how long after the fact. So this guy has been at work, and so the police have lost precious time in finding this killing ground or this dumping ground. And serial killers, because they're essentially non-human, they're anti-human. They're almost like an animal, and I say that with all due respect to animals, but they're like animals in that they have their trophy-taking, they have their dumping ground, their killing ground, and will return to these areas, sometimes without anybody to dump, just because they like to be there.
What are you talking about, like relax and everything?
Yeah, like they're just kicking back.
What do you mean kicking back?
That's what they do. They go there to kick.
Go there to kick? You mean because they enjoyed everything?
Yes. Do you understand what we're saying here, man? Now, they don't have a timeline of the killings yet, but it's possible the killings... Now, get a load of this. It's possible the killings started in July of 2007. So we're talking about a maniac with almost a 4-year head start on the cops. And this would be the first serious serial killer number of dead that we've had in quite some time. Because as I said, other than wrapping up the Gary Ridgway case, the Green River Killer case, maybe one or two others, we haven't had these numbers of killings because of the enhanced forensic techniques the police have in spotting these people. But nonetheless, the Aviation Bureau identified a significant number of items that aren't natural to the area, said Nassau County Acting Police Commissioner Thomas Crumpter. It is unknown at this time where what they are, and that is what we are doing here. We're going to clarify what those items are. He said the area where the unidentified items have been found encompasses a 40-acre stretch of land on the north side of Ocean Parkway that is virtually inaccessible by foot. CBS News reports the unnatural items that have been spotted are bags. Four of the killer's previous victims were found in burlap sacks.
Give me a creeps.
And if you look, as we, on one of our earlier broadcasts on the website, we showed you, or on our webcast, I should say, we showed you a map of this stretch of beach. It's very remote. The only thing man-made that traverses it is this road. The rest of it is, it's like a sandbar, like just a sand spit. Anyway, speaking of spit, time for us to spit or split. Phil Hendry Show produced by Jason Rance, technical direction. Technical direction by John Ilk, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. PhilHendryShow.com for your Phil Hendry Show needs. See you later tonight, guys.
Phil Hendry.